Model Test 6. Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Number 11. Why is John going to treat us tonight?
He must have gotten a raise.
Question. What does the man suggest?
Number 12. Miss, what time is flight 315 for Boston due to depart?
It leaves at 3:50, but you must check in 1 hour prior to departure.
Question. At what time must the passenger be at the airport for flight 315? Number 13. We had a heated debate about cheating on campus yesterday.
Had I known, I might have joined you.
Question. What does the woman mean? Number 14. The city is going to tear down those old houses and put up a new shopping center.
Another shopping center? That's nothing new.
Question. What does the woman mean? Number 15. I can't remember the due date for our final paper.
I think it's the 12th, but the professor said not to wait until the last minute to hand it in.
Question. What does the woman mean?
Number 16. How did your interview go?
I couldn't feel about it. The questions were moderate, but I seemed to give proper answers for all of them.
Question. How did the man feel about the interview?
Number 17. Make 30 copies for me and 20 copies for Mr. Brown.
Certainly, sir. As soon as I make the final corrections on the original.
Question. What's the probable relationship between the two speakers?
Number 18. Have you made up your mind to take up business as a career?
Yes. Actually, I have already started.
Question. What's the man's profession? Now, you'll hear 2 long conversations. Conversation 1.
Hello, Campus Daily, Advertising Department. This is Mark speaking.
Hi, I'm calling to place a couple of ads.
Sure. Under what classification?
Well, I want one in the Roommate Wanted section.
All right. And how would you like it to read?
Okay. It should read, Female Roommate Wanted for Pleasant, Sunny, 2-bedroom apartment on Eliwood Avenue. 3 blocks from campus. Share rent and utilities available September 1. Call between 5 and 9 p.m. and ask for Cecilia.
Fine. And what about your other ad?
That one I'd like under merchandise for sale, and I'd like it to read, matching blue and white sofa and easy chair. Excellent condition, $350 or best offer. Call between 5 and 9 p.m. and ask for Cecilia. Did you get all that?
Uh-huh. You'll want your phone numbers on these, right?
Oh, sure. Thanks for reminding me. It's 555-6972.
And how long do you want these ads to run?
For a week, I suppose. How much would that be?
It's $5 a week per line. Each of your ads will take up 3 lines, so that's $15 per ad.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Number 19. Where does Mark work?
Number 20. Which of the following is Cecilia trying to find?
Number 21. Which of the following does Cecilia initially forget to tell Mark?
Number 22. What is the total amount that the two advertisements will cost for 1 week?
Conversation 2. You've won how many different boxing divisions? 4?
It's 5, and yes.
And you are one of the greatest champions of all time.
I'm an athlete. I'm a fighter. This is what I do. This is what I still enjoy. I think that one of the main issues here is the fact that being 40, people say, you know, you are 40 years old. You should be playing golf.
Yeah.
I think this is a whole new age in time. People are living longer. People are exercising. People are eating better. I think we need to redefine what old age is.
I think you are just going to make me look bad.
Well, I didn't want to say that. Thanks for helping me.
Let me tell you something, Ray. There is no flashier or prettier guy in boxing, and everybody loves you.
Well, thank you. I actually designed each and every robe I would wear into the ring, and made sure that it was somewhat symbolic of the fight.
Well, maybe this one could just say, I'm 40 and I can still do this.
Guys, listen. I'm 40 and I'm a grandfather also.
That's right.
Well, I'm very happy. I've got a beautiful granddaughter, and life goes on.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Number 23. What is not true of the man according to the conversation?
Number 24. Why does the man like to dress in flashy robes?
Number 25. Why does the man think that old age needs to be redefined? Section B, directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Passage 1. John had bought a packet of cigarettes just before we caught the train, and he offered me one as we settled ourselves in our compartment. We were on our way back from a camping holiday. We had lived roughly for over 2 weeks, and even a cigarette was a luxury at that moment. I felt in my pocket for a box of matches, but could not find any. "I haven't got any either," said John. Sitting opposite to us was a man whose face was hidden by a newspaper. "Excuse me, sir," said John, leaning across. "Could you give me a light, please?" The newspaper was lowered to reveal a rather elderly man with a stern face. "This is a no-smoking compartment," the man said. He indicated the notice near the window. We apologized and put away our cigarettes. The man went on, in a rather more kind way, to warn us against the dangers of smoking. "I speak as a doctor," he concluded, and after that he went back to read his newspaper. When he got out a few stations later, he left his newspaper behind him. We picked it up, eager to find out what had happened while we were on holiday. "Just look at this," remarked John, pointing to a photograph. "It's the man who was sitting opposite to us." Underneath the photograph was an account of a lunatic who had recently escaped. It appeared that he liked to pretend to be a doctor. Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you've just heard.
Number 26. Where had the two friends spent their holiday?
Number 27. How did the two friends read the newspaper?
Number 28. Why was the man's photograph in the newspaper? Passage 2. My father woke me up early one morning when I was 14 and announced, "Get up, you're going to help me to cut the grass." I felt proud and excited because my father thought I was responsible enough to help him in his business. Still, that first day was very hard. From sunrise to sunset, my father, my younger brother, and I cut and trimmed very large yards in a well-to-do part of the city. By the end of the day, I was exhausted. But I felt good. I had put in a hard day's labor and had earned $6. One day, my father spotted some leaves I had missed cutting and pulled me aside. "Cut that section again," he said firmly, "and don't make me have to tell you to do it again." The message was clear. Today, I stress the importance of doing the job right the first time. In every job I have held, from cutting loans to washing dishes, to working a machine on a construction site, I have learned something that helped me in my next job. If you look hard enough, you can learn from any job you do.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you've just heard. Number 29. How did the speaker feel when his father asked him to help cut grass?
Number 30. What did his father do when the speaker missed cutting some leaves?
Number 31. What did the speaker want to tell us in the passage? Passage 3. Many years ago, there lived a poor man who had only one son. One day, there was no more money or food left in the house. So the man said, "My son, you must go to find some work and earn some money." The young man left home. He walked many miles until he met a rich farmer who had thousands of sheep. This farmer needed a shepherd to look after his sheep, so he gave the young man the job. There were seven mountains around the farm, and there were sheep in every field on every mountain. One day, black clouds gathered. A storm began. The wind tore off branches and blew down mighty trees. The rain poured down. Paths and bridges were washed away. The young man rushed around and gathered the sheep from the seven hillsides to lead them to shelter in the farm. He had almost reached the farm with his enormous flock when he saw that the bridge over the last stream had been washed away. There was only a wooden plank left. It was only safe for the sheep to walk across the plank one at a time. They did not like the look of the narrow, creaky piece of wood, one at a time, one at a time. What happened next? I'll tell you, when all the sheep are safely across the plank. At the moment they are still going over, one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. Have all the sheep crossed over the bridge yet? Oh dear me, no. The young man saved thousands of sheep from the mountains and fields. They all have to get across that shaky plank, and they are still crossing, one at a time, one at a time. When will the last sheep have crossed? You may well ask. The answer is, they will all have crossed when every sheep is on the other side. But just now, they are still walking over. One at a time, one at a time. And what about the young man? Well, he is still waiting and watching those sheep crossing the plank, one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you've just heard.
Number 32. Why did the young man have to leave home?
Number 33. What kind of job did the young man find?
Number 34. What happened when the storm came?
Number 35. How did the sheep get across the single plank? Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written.
The authors of the survey note that as long as the responsibility for child care is with the woman, they will remain trapped in the family. They also point out that concessions to women in the world of work often result in women being compelled into less well-paid jobs. This already happens in regards to part-time workers who are paid a lower hourly wage than full-time workers. They point out that men have to square to their responsibility as fathers. The key they emphasize is a change in men's attitudes. However, what was not mentioned is that no matter how attitudes change, men are as powerless as individuals in regards to their working conditions as women are. With all the goodwill in the world, they cannot change their employer-employee relationship. They cannot adjust their working hours to suit child care just as women can. A more fundamental conclusion would be that society, at the moment, capitalism, does not want to accommodate any of the problems of child care, preferring to leave it up to the individual to make their own arrangements as best as they can.
Now this passage will be repeated.
The authors of the survey note that as long as the responsibility for child care is with the woman, they will remain trapped in the family. They also point out that concessions to women in the world of work often result in women being compelled into less well-paid jobs. This already happens in regards to part-time workers who are paid a lower hourly wage than full-time workers. They point out that men have to square to their responsibility as fathers. The key they emphasize is a change in men's attitudes. However, what was not mentioned is that no matter how attitudes change, men are as powerless as individuals in regards to their working conditions as women are. With all the goodwill in the world, they cannot change their employer-employee relationship. They cannot adjust their working hours to suit child care just as women can. A more fundamental conclusion would be that society, at the moment, capitalism, does not want to accommodate any of the problems of child care, preferring to leave it up to the individual to make their own arrangements as best as they can.
Now this passage will be repeated again.
The authors of the survey note that as long as the responsibility for child care is with the woman, they will remain trapped in the family. They also point out that concessions to women in the world of work often result in women being compelled into less well-paid jobs. This already happens in regards to part-time workers who are paid a lower hourly wage than full-time workers. They point out that men have to square to their responsibility as fathers. The key they emphasize is a change in men's attitudes. However, what was not mentioned is that no matter how attitudes change, men are as powerless as individuals in regards to their working conditions as women are. With all the goodwill in the world, they cannot change their employer-employee relationship. They cannot adjust their working hours to suit childcare just as women can. A more fundamental conclusion would be that society at the moment, capitalism, does not want to accommodate any of the problems of childcare, preferring to leave it up to the individual to make their own arrangements as best as they can.